Could you give us an explanation of what we were singing, not just the meaning of the word, but the history, please? Thank you.
First, I'd like to say, since this is our last class camp together with Murshida Nuria, I thank you for these, holding the attunement of a Sufi message of Hazrat,
thank
your
mercy
and icon, and offering it to us here.
It's all about Murshida.
So this practice is a singing wazifa. And the singing wazifas were created by Murshid Hidayatullah Khan. And they're very, very purposefully, I think they're created, but really inspired. Murshid Hidayat was inspired by the message on the mysticism of sound by Hazrat. Pure Murshid and I count, excuse me. And I just feel when I do these practices that I can hear that message in the mysticism of sound that says that in every word there is within that a sacred vibration and an element which is hidden. It's the secret in the word that makes it sacred. And that particular element has an effect upon our being, which is a manifestation of the divine. So these were created to tune our inner being and our outer atmosphere to the sacred through that vibration of sound. And so we are singing these wazifas as an individual practice. Marcia de Diet developed them as a choral practice to be done as a group, but they can also be done individually. And for me, the practice of doing them individually has also been very, very deeply meaningful and sort of a profound connection with Marcia de Diet.
And this isn't Marcia de Diet, but he's the
Marcia
de Diet's the son. Oh yeah, he is. He's over
he's
here.
He's on this. Yeah. He's right above your head.
Yeah. That's exactly it. He usually is. Yes. Sometimes, yes, you know, good. Still low, you know. If they say it's hard, I'm so dizzy. He said to me, you know what happens? The more they milk the cow, the more milk the cow gives.
Yeah.
Okay, get to work.
We brought him to Aziza. We brought him and Aziza to our Maui camp once.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
And so, you know, he's this very elegant European gentleman with a suit and a tie and very prim and proper. And our manager sent literally, you think I'm wild. He's wilder than me. And that's who he said to pick him up.
Aww.
And I'm like, really? You're sending him to get him? Okay. And his diet loved him. And he gave him the name Arjuna.
Aww, by the way,
he said, oh, you're
that?
Arjuna. And he came and met our Maui family. And you know, we're a wild, crazy hippie bunch. He loved us so much. And we loved him deep. They were so appreciative of who we were doing and our whole family and everything. I cracked open a fresh coconut for Aziza. First coconut she ever had in her life. She couldn't thank me enough. You know, it was just, they're such sweet,
gracious
sweet people. Yeah. So, you know, I was a little concerned because I know they're, for lack of a better word, I'll say conservative compared to us wild folk.
But you know, liked that dervishy guy because he's got
He loved us and shared with us, and everyone loved him back. And came back a second time. It was very
wonderful.
Very blessed that we got to have that experience with him. So
he tells a story on himself because, you know, he played the cello and the violin.
Yeah, right.
And he, you know, there are pictures of him with long hair.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, of the day, and it was, you know, and I guess he was very, you know, really expressive. And his teacher said to him, Hidayat, the music is played with the hairs on the bow, not your head. And he said, I went immediately and got a haircut.
Oh,
Shall
really?
Do you have questions or comments?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm just clarifying about what you're discussing.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
Whether they were teachers, also his children.
They're his children. That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
Hidayat is the, was he?
Son.
He was the oldest son, right?
No, Velayat was the oldest son. Nirnisa was the oldest,
right?
Then Velayat,
then
Hidayat, and then Clarinisa.
Yeah, Clarinisa.
Then
so
that, we have four children.
Two girls.
Four rubies.
There's a story.
Yeah,
there's
four rubies.
Claire wrote that, right? She wrote the book.
Yeah,
four
and her son.
We rubies four.
Yeah,
yeah, we rubies four.
Yeah, we rubies four.
Where she called his children.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet because, you know, I've inherited a lot of things, and one of them are these sweet postcards that, you know, copies of them that Pir Murshid Hazrat and Icon, or Hazrat Pir Murshid and Icon, would send the children when he was traveling.
Oh, from wherever he was. Oh, wow.
And it's like, you know, but they're written, they should be maybe compiled almost as stories, because he would say, what did you learn today? And you should see, in this city, they have beautiful cars that are this color and this color.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just, but in that sweet manner as a father speaking to the child, we forget, you know, we think he was very serious. And Hidayat would tell me, my father, no one came into his presence without leaving with a smile and the feeling, even if they were depressed or sad or crying, you know, he always lift them up. And there's some wonderful photos of him laughing and engaged with children and some of his murid. So he was a 360 degree person. We forget, we think of him as being static. While I'm speaking of that, and I'm getting back to you in just a moment, it's all about patience, right? You know, I'm kind of like
just listening.
This photo, many of you know it, you've seen it in books. There was a gentleman that reached out. you know, we have a pretty big web presence. And so someone from New York reached out and said, I want to learn about Sufism. And I said, well, that's great. Let's talk. And so he said, I want to offer something, which is always the way. You know, people always say, I want to go hang out with the guru. It's like, well, see if you can help him. You know what I mean? Anyway, I said, well, what is your profession? Well, he was one of only 100 people that had this special printer called the Iris printer.
Oh, okay.
Right? And a very special, high quality. And I said, I have an idea, because there are these photos that are starting to disintegrate, right? And the quality, you know, sometimes they're...
Yeah.
I said, if I send these to you, can you, because that was one of the things he did, was restored things to digitally before printing them. And he had been studying, he knew about the elemental colors and the elements, and Gemma's going to talk more about that. And he said, and I said, now I'm going to be in Upper State New York, because there's going to be a gathering at the Abode. You know, it was a federation, and Aziza and Adai were coming. I said, wouldn't it be lovely if we could print some of these for them to have and take back, you know? Well, these are not, you know, if you know anything about printing at CMYK, well, he cleaned his whole printer out and he bought new cartridges. Mm-hmm. And they were red, green, no, yellow, blue, red, yellow, green, red, blue, and gray tones. So these are made with the elemental colors, not the traditional printing colors. Mm-hmm. They have a special quality that's almost holographic.
So
you know?
That's where that print came from?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a gift for him to bring.
Oh, God. He brought lots of little ones and some larger ones. We had them packed up so they could take them with them in their suitcases. But they loved that. And then we would travel to Holland and, you know, offer them to people. So it's cool. I don't know if we have any more left, but go ahead. Please, Caduce.
Well, Mersha Tadiah teaches that the element, that secret hidden within Caduce, is the element of ether.
Mm.
And of course, with that element, we imagine, as Murshida Nuria has been also teaching me, because she learned this directly from Mersha Tadiah, that we take our consciousness and take our concentration as high as we can above the crown towards that light, towards that white light that is pure, because Caduce is the one who is holy and pure, the one who is ever purifying. And we imagine that light coming down, and there is a clear diamond. And as that light passes through that diamond above our crown, it showers all the colors of the elements upon our being and through our being. And so it's that light, that pure light. And in the sound of Caduce, he taught us that that sound is oo. The etheric sound is oo, like who. So we hear that in this practice. And it's that state of calm and peace and joy, which neither changes nor ceases to exist. So, and the root of Caduce, and as we learn in the Physicians of the Heart, is the QDS, which means to return to one's true home. So in this, as we sing this, we are, in a sense, turning and returning to our true home and purifying ourselves through that process as well. So.
One of Murshida, we were talking a lot about Murshida very yesterday. She's also up here over the shoulder. And one of her favorite practices, and many of you that were at those camps with her will remember, right? Yeah. Okay, so this is kind of the what you're visualizing, right? So she'd have us visualize that a all-pervading light descending, and we'd go, you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, should we do it a few times? It's not part of this teaching at all, but well, it's here and it's in the atmosphere. Like I said, all of these timbers have their teachings and their atmosphere here. And if we listen, they're speaking to us. It's like, we'll do this instead. So let's just do 11 times. So feel that light coming down. She would talk about it almost like, you know, the image of the Holy Spirit. That, you know, so it's like the light's coming down, the dove descends, the caduceus is here. It's the thing that gives voice to the message. It gives us our voice, the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a husband that's a bit of a scholar. He doesn't show it off, you'd never know, because he looks so like, well, the average Joe. His name is Joe. But he's gotten engaged with this men's group, and they're discussing, you know, the scriptures every week, you know, in the Catholic Church. And he's kind of like, I don't know if they really understand, you know, because he's got this mystic quality. He's been to all the classes, and he's a great support. So he says to me, well, you know, and he had the fortune of studying Latin and Greek in college, and he said, I think I'm going to go back and relearn Greek, because I want to go back and read the Gospels, the Bible, in Greek. It was, I believe, the original, we say Aramaic, this is the language Jesus spoke, but the Gospels were recorded in Greek. It was the common language of the day, you know. So he goes back, and this is so beautiful. He says, when they say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, it translates Holy Wind.
Mm-hmm.
So breath, you know, it's the breath, it's the who, it's the Ruh, it's all of that. Is so when we think of that, we're bringing this divine light that transforms into breath. This is the Murshidavir always told us, this is the place of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Do you remember Safraz?
Mm-hmm.
And then the high is Nors, of course, the divine light. We learned that yesterday. You already knew it, but we kind of reviewed it, that it's the light that shines within, that is self-revelatory,
mm-hmm.
and also reveals itself to the world. So, you know, she told me to look into the flowers and let them speak through their light. You know, we're doing that. We've been talking about the light of the soul these last few days and the qualities of the soul. But when we think about this holy wind now coming down, right? This light, this holy wind filling our bodies, and then it comes as life right in the belly.
I remember when she would be doing it, it was like her body was the instrument,
mm-hmm.
you know, like every part of her body, you could see the wind coming.
Yes,
into
that's
it,
right.
You know, and
she was a very powerful. And yesterday we did Kareem, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to just tell you also what she taught. So she'd say, whenever you go by, you know, like we'd walk past bushes together, and she'd say, touch them and realize the great generosity that they're giving you.
Mm-hmm.
Feel their life and their light, which is the big practice that an icon gave, light and light. And she'd say, just say, Yah, Yah. So that's just a little review from yesterday. But this seemed to me almost one of her favorite practices. Okay. So let's just do it now. I'm gonna get my little beads off here. It's gonna look a little crooked, and like I've got it. And we're gonna count 11 times. Let's start again. We won't use the Yah. We'll just use the sacred names. Lord, produce light. Okay. Did you want to say something, Farhad?
No, I was just getting ready to.
Oh, okay, you were
pull it down. We all want to say something.
Get ready to pull it down. And if the gesture helps, you know, it's body prayer, right, too. We can just kind of direct that. Sometimes I just see it as this spiral of light that's coming down. When Murshid Hidayat would lead practices, I always feel it that way. He was an instrument too. All right, let's
question.
Go.
Are you saying ka? Like, I don't hear the ka. Are you saying?
No.
Oh, you're saying no.
Back to the no. Hi.
Oh, okay.
Say that again, please.
Nor, N-U-R, or N-O-O-R,
yeah.
Nor, sacred light, divine light. Kaduz is spelled Q-U-D-D-U-S. Do you have anything to say about the double D?
Well, the double D has to do with that. It's, you can hear it. It's like a repetitive action. Kaduz. And so this means happening continuously.
Yeah.
It's always taking place. It's ceaseless.
You're used to career
title is Kaduz. Yeah, and Rashida Vera would go Kaduz. She really extend that, which we can do
it
that.
It seemed like it. She did a lot with her third eye with that, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Just the vibration. Yeah.
Okay, we ready?
Yes.
Feel it. It's more about feeling it, not understanding it with our minds, but words help. Okay. Forget the prayers, forget to count. It's good. Emptiness. Clear mind, don't know. Okay. Another one of her favorites was Noor Alim High. She was always bringing that down. She was such a practical person and a hard worker. You know, she was a psychiatric nurse. She was an educator. She had started the Zed schools. And she was always working. You know, it wasn't like she was in her lofty little ivory tower, you know. She was really a worker bee. And a good example, very good example. I want to go back just to read that last paragraph from yesterday because I think it's so important, okay? So we're talking about the secret of happiness, okay? And Murshid, this is a very, I feel very strong words. He hardly ever speaks in such a strong, direct way, but he says, so let me go back. He's on, he's speaking about the nature of democracy of the spirit, and he's teaching us about spiritual truth, and the principal things are kindness and charity and forbearance and tolerance. And these are the things that, you know, he would wish for us to aspire to. Now, you know, when none of us are perfect and none of us, well, maybe you are, and saints, you know. But even the saints, boy, man, I read about them, they had some feistiness going, you know. So, these are the qualities, and he's going to illuminate that too as we close today. But I want to go back, and he's giving us this idea that life isn't just for fancy. This isn't just a roadshow, so to speak. You know, this is the real deal. And he says, it, meaning life, is not a passing show. It is not a place for amusement, although we can have fun, in which to fool our life away. It is a place for study, in which every sorrow, every heartbreak brings a precious lesson. It is a place in which to learn by one's own suffering. Oh my God, if we can just reframe that when we're in that kind of pain or grief, loss, whatever it is. It is a place in which to learn by one's own suffering, by studying the suffering of others, to learn from people who have been kind to us, as well as people who have been unkind. It is a place in which all experience, be they disappointments, struggles and pains, or joys, pleasures and comfort, contribute to the understanding of what life is. And the realization what it is. Then do we awake to the religion of nature, which is the only religion. And the more we understand it, the greater our life will become, and the more of a blessing will our life be to others. So today, I'm reading, I think maybe just from one volume. It's from the Eastern Rose Garden. And I'm going to check my time. I'm going to be respectful. I edited this morning because I want to just get to the nectar. So you all have been, most of you have been here ongoing. And so finally he says, the secret of happiness is, I think I gave it away at the very beginning, is hidden under the veil of spiritual knowledge. And so that's what he was talking about in the previous teaching. Looking, I remember I had given a talk at summer school in the Netherlands. It was on this penetrating insight. Look those words up. You all know the website, Hazrat-Anayat-Khan.org. Just look up penetration. That's what he's telling us about, learning from everything that's going on around us. Anything?
No.
Okay. Really a gesture. It's a good thing you're not at an auction. You'd be out there millions of dollars. Wait, I was just brushing
my. I did 101.
There you go. Okay. No, I'm just teasing you.
So, did you say the website?
And I would expect you to do the same to me.
You said it's Hazrat hyphen?
Hyphen.
Hyphen is a line?
A dash. But like, it's not like an underscore, it's just a hyphen. Yeah, like a monitor.
Hazrat and icon. Now, what is that website for?
That is the entire message volume.
Oh, is it Wahidudin's site?
No, it's not Wahidudin's.
Oh, it's
another senior student that was in the Sufi order.
Okay.
And he was a master of computers and databases.
But
this is like so great,
yeah,
because you open it up,
yeah,
you can either join or not join, there's no money.
Okay.
And you just do word searches or phrase searches,
yeah,
and it'll show you all the message volumes and where it appears. I find it a little easier to deal with. I love Wahidudin. I respect him so much.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for what he's done. But this is very, maybe it's a little.
Well, you can bookmark.
You can bookmark things. You can. Yeah, you can.
Is it a .com or what is it?
Yeah, it's just a .org, isn't it?
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know. You can't really see this, but you see here's all the message volumes. And then when you click on one, it's all the headings,
right,
and then all the subheadings, and then it's there, you know.
Does it need to be capitalized?
No.
No, lowercase.
No.
So could you say the title again?
Hazarat-Anayat-Khan.org.
Okay.
Now, depending on your level of initiation, you get different levels of access. Mm-hmm. So if there's, this is just all the public papers, but there's some others out there. And if you want access, for me, nothing's a secret. Everybody should have everything. But if you'd like, there's some very esoteric papers that are for advanced initiations.
After you've read all those?
Huh?
After you've read all the volumes on this?
Right.
But, you know, it's, I have, and I'm so glad I have, because I kind of know where to go to look for stuff. Mm-hmm. And this has been, that's it. It was like returning again for me when I came to this path.
I've been to the site because it's in my memory.
Good, good, good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go. How, did you see how I did that? I put that pregnant pause in. The secret of happiness is... And it's what I said at the very beginning, hidden under the veil of spiritual knowledge. And spiritual knowledge is nothing but this, that there's a constant longing in our heart to have something of our origin, to experience something of its original state, the state of peace and joy, which has been disturbed by coming to earth, and yet is sought after throughout the whole of our life, returning again, and never can cease to be sought after until the real source has at length been realized. What was it in the wilderness that gave peace and joy? He's asking now all these questions. What was it that came to us in the forest, the solitude? In either case, it was nothing else but the depth of one's own life and being, which is a silent life in the depths of the great sea. So silent and so still. It is the surface of the sea which makes waves and mooring breakers. The depth is silent. So the depth of our own being is silent also. How can we get there? That's where we get in touch with the spirit of guidance. It's constantly open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. But if we're all busy up here, we can't. So take a little time. Sometimes, when I was at the college, I don't know about you, Forrest, I don't know about you, Gemma, but I'd just say, I gotta take a break. I'd go sit in the stall for a minute and do a few breaths, just that. So, it can just be that fast. We were talking earlier, just looking out, feeling the space. Moshe Hadayat talked a lot about the all-pervading life in space. And you just, you can cast your glance into the infinite sky, and you can then bring that spaciousness in, and it's this silent moment that one can have. It doesn't take, years in a cave. You can do that too, but wouldn't it be so more efficient to learn how to do it like that? I think someone was alluding to what Merchant Sam said. It's like he'd say to them, this is a direct quote, I think probably Wally Ollie, maybe someone was paraphrasing today, but he'd say, okay, now we're all going to meditate. That's enough. It was like, you're going to get it, you got to get it in these spurts, right? And, the other thing that he said, it was Rabia Adya that told me this. He said, he'd often say, I want to really teach the kids how to meditate, but I can't get them to sit still that long, so I'm going to teach them how to dance. It was a good thing.
Yeah.
And now it's become this beautiful practice all around the world, right? Yeah. And, Shabda has been a tireless worker. Tireless. I remember one time he called me and he said, Naria, what are you doing? I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm at Kinko's. I said, what are you doing at Kinko's? Or Fat, you know, it was then Kinko's. He said, you know, I'm wanting to make some copies of things to, I think it was a Damiot maybe that was coming up. I said, why the hell are you doing that? He said, oh my God, you don't even know. To mom, she gets so mad at me. He said, everyone calls me. And she said, what do they think you are? You're the peer, not tech support. But he's so generous.
Yeah.
He's available. And he has really done something. He has really spread the message, hasn't he, around the world?
100%.
Look at the increase and just such a, well, you know, if you just stand next to him, you can kind of feel that he has that stillness.
Well, the other thing I love about Chuck is he's so approachable.
He is. He's very available.
He's really your friend.
Yeah. And he really says, before I leave, I'm talking to you two in the back, I want to know everything about you.
That's right.
I know your ring. Yeah. That's it. Really I know does. Your name. But, you know, more. I want to know about people.
Yeah.
And he's that way.
When he sees a new person, okay, who are you? Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
He's very approachable and present. He's just like Joe, your friend, you know.
He came one time with his music teacher, Panit Pranath.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was also not at camp, another retreat we had in there were some, remember Sarmad Bernstein?
Yeah.
And he was married, and why can't I remember her name? She's a very tall and dramatic person. But anyway, they had a beautiful farm, and they had a beautiful studio, and they invited him there. And so we were out there, and then Panit Pranathji would say to him, you teach him. Because he was trying to get him, you know, it's like, you tell them. And then Panit Pranath would stop him. And this is it. This is the silent life. Don't stand on the notes. The music's between the notes. You know, Frank Sinatra did that. You know, it's the Shruti's. It's the Shruti's. I think people want to know about that instrument, but that can be after class. It's not just, it's not a harmonium, it's something else, but it seems to play like a harmonium. It's special. Anyway, it's don't stand on the notes, the music's between the notes. We're not going somewhere. With that space between this place and that place is so special.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that gap between the breath.
Mm-hmm.
There's that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now he goes on to say, now I'll go back one sentence. Well, he's asking the questions, why do we go to the forest? Why do we go? And he says, the silent, it's like the depths of the sea, so still and silent. And then in the next paragraph he says, this is all-pervading, unbroken, inseparable, unlimited, ever-present, omnipotent silence that unites with the silence like the meeting of flames. So when we go there, we feel that presence of silence that is always there, or it's all around us, really. But he keeps trying to get us to this place because, you know, it's said in the Bhagavad Gita that the Atman resides behind the heart. It's the size of the thumb, and that is the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, there does, at least in that, you know, cosmology, they really have a place for it, you know. Something goes out from the depths of our being to receive something from there, which comes to meet us. People are crossing that door seal where the two worlds meet.
Mm-hmm.
Something goes out from the depths of our being to receive something from there, which comes to meet us. And he says, our eyes cannot see, and our ears cannot hear, and our minds cannot perceive, because it's beyond mind, thought, and comprehension. It is the meeting of the soul, small s, to the spirit, capital S. It's like meeting ourselves again, that divine source. And never forget, Mershit teaches us that it's a pole. And at one end is, you know, this divine presence. And at the other end is us. It's up to us to kind of elevate ourselves. And that's kind of what he's saying in different words. We can, you know, we can exist on that ray, you know, we can tune ourselves and elevate ourselves. And, you know, if you just taste it for a moment, then you know it. It's always there. But it's not like we have to be addicted to it, or we always have to, you know, Shogyam Trungpa Rinpoche calls that spiritual materialism, being attached to experience and telling the same story of it. No, that keeps you so limited. You want to go beyond that. Something goes out from the depths of our being to receive something from there. Therefore, the idea of understanding the spiritual ideal is to attain to that state of being, of calm and peace and joy and everlasting happiness, which neither changes nor ceases to exist. You know, I love St. Teresa, right? Let's see if I can find her quote right away. I have my whole list of prayers here. Here are my prayers, okay? And she says, this is St. Teresa of Avila, by the way. And you know about her from Spain? She was such an amazing mystic. You know, she and St. Francis, they'd have to pull them down because they'd be levitating, you know? Yeah. And she was the only one that a woman, you know, what was it, the 15th century, who every single word that she wrote, they used. They didn't change it or edit it. And I love when she wrote, "Be ye sons of glory," no S-O-N-S, S-U-N-S. She understood that light.
Be ye sons, S-U-N-S.
Sons, the light. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? It changes everything.
Yeah.
Be that light. Okay, so this is what she says. Let nothing disturb you. Nothing frighten you. God alone never changes. Patience obtains all things. Nothing is wanting to the one who possesses God. God alone suffices. Your best friend. Tell everything to God. I'm visual, so I see things. So like when I've had a loss, or, you know, I'm confused, you know, I just make this little bundle and I go to the feet at the altar and I put it there and I say, "It's yours. You have to help me. You just have to surrender. We can't figure it all out." I think we're being figured out. You know, and Pirvalayat used to say, I don't know, is it Bastami? There might be some philosophical scholar here, but I think it was Bastami might have been, "Am I a butterfly dreaming I'm a man, or man I'm dreaming a butterfly?" It's pretty trippy when you think about that. But there was the other one about God is experiencing, he would say, him or herself through you.
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, God created all of this to see what God is. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. It's a little bit, ooh. And then, of course, now I'm on my Catholic gig, so please excuse me, anyone that has a problem with that. This is Padre Pio. I love him too. "Pray, hope, don't worry. Worry is useless. God alone is merciful and will heal your prayers." Do you know his story? Okay, he's a real modern day saint. He started getting the stigmata, right? And he really understood this idea of Trinity, unity of the Trinity. And he had these beautiful metaphors where he'd teach people about it. And people knew. Do you remember meeting Angelo and Lee, the little man that's an Italian man where I live? You didn't meet him in the class? He was a child and met him. And, you know, this man is 92, 93, has very special lively qualities, this friend of mine. But anyway, Padre Pio had these stigmatas, and they kind of isolated him and did scientific studies because, you know, they wanted to be sure he wasn't self-harming, you know, cutting himself. And it was, you know, it was very true and, of course, very painful, but he never kind of revealed that. And so now it's getting, the word's getting out, this saint, living saints here, and it presented a problem. You know, that happened also at Fatima, and Lourdes is like that too now. But there were so many people coming, you know, the police were having trouble controlling the traffic. So they say to him, you do not hear any confessions anymore. You're not allowed to give mass anymore. If you want to do that, you do it in your own room. So, but you know, taking away this amazing gift of inspiring people, but you know, it's the message still got out. So, you know, these great beings, I study them when I get a little bit overly concerned about my confusion or suffering. And the, one of the best guides for me is The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross. Best guide ever. I'm not going in your time, am I? No, I still have 15, 20 minutes. Okay, let me get back. Shabda calls me the, not my name, his name, Digital Murshida. What are you asking?
I wasn't sure when you said The Dark Soul of the Night, if you were talking about like somebody that touched base on The Dark Soul of the Night, but you were just talking about The Dark Soul of the Night in general.
The book. The book.
There's a book.
Written,
okay.
Written by St. John of the Cross.
St. John of the Cross.
Yes.
Thank you.
Dark Night of the Soul.
Dark Night of the Soul. And in that also is The Dark Night of the Spirit, because you're not through it yet until you go to the through that. The other book that's wonderful, which kind of talks about these, well, Anaya Khan, of course, talks about levels of initiation, which are not just skipping down the road, you know. Usually, a level of initiation, don't be too fast to want to go up that ladder, wherever in that ladder, because usually, I love Pir Shabda. I respect him so much. He's like a brother. But what happened to him? Mm-hmm. He lost his son and he got cancer. That was a big initiation for him. So these things happen, you know?
He lost a lot of money too.
And he did lose a lot of money, and a lot of other people lost money. So I always watch because I don't like to elevate people too quickly because I don't want it to be a shock to their system and I don't want misfortune. It happens anyway, but yes, Husserl.
I just have to tell this quick story.
Please.
Fayadol got initiated by Ferdowsi.
Who's that?
This woman, okay. Aunt Sophia. Yeah, she got initiated by Ferdowsi in Fayetteville in. A bunch of us stayed over at her house that night. About 20 people stayed at her house. In the morning, her landlady called up and evicted her because she lived next door and saw that all these people had stayed overnight at her house. It was so high, she had been initiated, and then the next morning, she evicted from her house.
It can happen. Yeah. You know, it's like the universe.
That doesn't happen to me when I get home.
No. So I don't want to frighten anyone, but I want you to understand that there, what it is it's the universe is trying to align you in some way. And sometimes it happens in a, you know.
Shockingly.
Indeed. This is a whole other class, but I just want to tell you, you know, there's been a few things. I keep talking about health. And Rashida Vera, it was the elemental breaths. She said, you've got to clear it out at all the different levels. Mm-hmm. And you've got to find out where it started, because it'll work through the body. Mm-hmm. So there's a big teaching on that in terms of healing. I don't, maybe you and I should talk about it. But but that was my laboratory. Because of those illnesses, I was able to learn from it. So there's, it's a double, you know, it's a blessing. It's all a blessing. It's hard to imagine, but it is. And if you can see that, this is God trying to get me the right direction. These shifts occur and, you know, things happen. But it's all God.
I guess I wonder, because I have a story about that I wonder, would those things have happened
anyway,
and we might not have had the support that that we have with our community, our guides,
and the practices.
And so, and the practices help us to face whatever challenges.
Absolutely. You know, I like doing my own housework where I live. Everybody has a housekeeper. It's like, no, I'm doing it myself. And I just start doing my prayers and my practices. And man, it's like, either that or I call Gemma. I used to call my mom and talk to her. It's like, I got a closet to clean out. You got a little time? Let me work on this. By the way, cleaning closets is a great spiritual practice. Get rid of the stuff, right? Okay.
You crack me up.
I know. I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit dervishy too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
look all a certain way, but it's like, I can take you down, buddy. Therefore, the idea of understanding the spiritual ideal is to attain to the state of being of calm and peace and joy and everlasting happiness, which neither changes nor ceases to exist. The bliss found in solitude is hidden within every human being, and it has been inherited from our divine origin. In mystical words, it is called the all-pervading light. Light is the source and origin of every human soul, of every mind, light. You know, the astrophysicists, and, you know, remember, I remember when I was in grade school, the nuns, again, they were mystic nuns. They said, you know, you think that's a solid something there. It's not. It's sparkling light, but it's just going at different rates, and we perceive it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that, you know, if we saw it the way it really was, it's like, ooh, we'd all be in straitjackets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get a glimpse sometimes in your practices. You get a glimpse and you're like, is that what? What was that? Shake yourself. Wow, look what's happened here. I have no idea. It's making up new words. Do you see that? Wow. Okay, let me go back out and go back in. Did you see that? Oh my God, it's like so weird. It was like, what are you doing?
Are you
okay, now it's okay.
Are you channeling live?
Revealing. Talk about revealing.
What?
Talk about revealing.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow. Okay, I don't know what's going on. This is so bizarre. But anyway, I'm going to try to. It looks like it's saying Catalonian, Christian, Sicilian. It's like, what have you done? Somebody's in there.
Yeah.
Somebody's in there. Okay. Yeah, that's probably it. Okay. So let me just see if I can piece it together. The Sufi looks upon life as one, upon all religions as their own. Christian and, if they call you Christian, that's fine. Call a Sufi a Muslim or a Hindu, and we don't mind at all, do we? Like the students at the college, they come in and there's Gandhi and there's a Tonka and there's a Buddha and there's some person. One time someone came in and he said, is that your father? And I said, yeah. You know? And he said, what are you? And I said, what are you? And then they'd say, well, but no, what religion are you? I said, I'm all religions. Yeah. He said, can you do that? I said, you don't have to pick and choose. It's all part of God. So I love this one. Murshid, his sense of humor. A Sufi does not think about what people call them. And that means in all kinds of ways, not just religious. It's like, don't care. Clear mind, don't know. He says, cats and dogs don't declare their names. Right? It is the name that we give to them. Right? So just because someone says, you know, someone says something, I was talking with someone today, it's just because someone says it about me doesn't mean it isn't so. I don't have to own it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a, you know, whenever anyone does something like that, you must remember that's their mind, not who you are. Mm-hmm. It's their mind. And I'll tell you, you know, the great lessons in it, you know, I have this big, black, powerful dog, right? And the cats do this when he comes by. You know, that stillness, that's a protection. If they dart and he sees them, we're off to the races, you know? And like the deer in Deer Park with the Buddha, you know, they sat still. That stillness, that silence. We only can hear when we're quiet. Okay, enough of that. I love the silence. So he goes on to say, if you give yourself a name, they're going to create something out of it. So don't name yourself anything. Murshid Hidayat had told me that, he said, before my father left, and he was a child, he was a small child, but he says he remembers, he said, when I returned from India, I think he knew he wasn't, but I think he was telling people this because he wanted them to know it. I think that I will change the name. You know, I think there's so many stories. I really should write my own book. Yeah. I feel like I'm living this, you know, I'm the living sort of biography of these people. But he said that his father said, I would like to change the whole thing, and I wouldn't use the word Sufi anymore.
Really?
Who said that?
I never heard this.
Anayat Khan said it.
Oh, thank God.
And he wanted it to be a community of people, but he didn't want it. You know, he was so non-traditional.
Yeah.
There were a number of attempts on his life by the traditionals. They didn't like that he let women sit in the circle equal to men. There were a lot of things that he broke down. And he says, and I think it's in Agathika, I owe everything to my teachers and to the Sufi path. But he says, the account has been paid in full, and now we have a movement. He called it a movement.
Right. Yeah.
It kept the name Sufi with it. But it's interesting to think about it. It's also interesting to think what would have happened if Nur Anisa had survived. Mm-hmm. And you know, the reason for her capture was jealousy. Yeah. You know that?
She got turned in by somebody.
Yeah. There was a woman that was jealous of, it was about a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And turned her in because she was jealous of Nur Anisa, mm-hmm. and betrayed her. And
but she did get a warning that, you know, your cell has been bad. She goes, well, I'm still going to do the work.
She would not leave. She was the last one.
So she did get a warning there, yeah, on her trail.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop her.
Didn't stop her. Mm-hmm. She was very, and she was part of Churchill's special service. She was handpicked because of her,
yeah,
complexion and her language skills. And the family have met people that actually witnessed her execution. And the last word was liberté. But she also said, this will kill my mother.
Aww. Aww. Whoa, she actually said that. That I didn't hear before.
This will kill my mother.
And did it?
Well, yeah, you know, her mother went into deep retreat first,
yeah,
with the Night Khans.
Yeah,
she was, but she wasn't fragile. And Hidayat does not like the way people portray her. She said, absolutely not. You know, she drug all the children to India. And,
yeah,
you know, there's this big story about one of the brothers coming to the house and saying, okay, now I should take care of you. And she's like, no, thank you.
Shut the door. You missed the door. Beat it.
Shut the door, you know. So yeah. She was stronger.
And I just said she was different after that.
You would be.
It was like there was a sadness
A light left her life.
Her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Miranese has written some beautiful poetry. We should share that, you know, so much. Anyway, I hope I live long enough to bring more of that forward. So the practice, Kawi. Farhad, are you shake now? What's your deal? You just forced.
Yeah, I'm just forced.
Just forced. Okay, we're not even using Farhad. I use Stephanie all the time too.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kawi can be translated as divine strength and omnipotence, okay? But Kawi is also understood as the strength that comes from emptiness, that silence, that clear mind don't know. No name, no form, no eye, no ear. And it is said a strength that arises from total peace. So here's part of the secret of happiness, okay? And it's that total peace that comes from absolute silence. And it's rooted in a place of no place. You know, Wali Ali would always say, listen to the sound of hearing your hearing. And if you listen, a lot of times people say, I'm getting ringing in my ears. And I'm like, are you sure? Maybe it's just something else. And I always ask, because for me, it has a rotation. You know, it's like, I'm always living a little bit in this. It was like being at Project CERN. I was there as an artist collaborating with some of the scientists. And it's like, they amp that thing up underground. And it's like, it's amazing. But that is also part of what the practice does. This Kawi is kind of like that.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Okay, it's Q-A-Y-I-Y-Y, but it's spelled. Me told us about the Ka yesterday in Kareem. So it's like, I always think of it like, you know, like, it's like opening this the lid on the heart. You know, it's like popping that cork. Okay? And then we is extended a bit. And it's, you, Gemma, so beautifully described this as this, you called it as a quick that we blew the flame onto. And I gave the analogy of the, because it's very effective for me. So you use whatever's good for you, but like that, you know, the flint that the Tibetans use. So it's like, whee. I know it sounds silly, but let's do it, right? So think of it that way, like, whee. It really enlivens that wazifa, doesn't it? And it's like that light, you know, that's just exploding.
And it's fun.
And it's fun. Yeah, all those, like I remember I thought, wow, how did wow come into to existence? I don't know, I gave it a term. Something, I don't know, I'll think of it.
Well,
but
you
there's
know, wow
words
is upside
for
down.
Mom.
And dog backwards.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's think of this, and this is this, we're kind of popping the cork on this empty place. And then it's like this brilliant light with wee. Okay, shall we do it? You won't forget it, will you? Yeah. Okay, so well, let's just not use the ya, God forgive me. Let's just use the sacred word, kawi. Okay. Kawi.
Kawi. Kawi.
Remember joy.
Kawi. Kawi. Kawi.
That all pervading light.
Kawi.
Kawi. Ta-wee. I have a little bit more, but no, maybe I don't. Yes, I do, but I think past is open, isn't it?
Well, it's 3:15.
Yeah. How much longer will it take?
A bit, but maybe I could edit. Let's see.
Can we give her 5 minutes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, your students should know your professor. They've got to wait for you for 10 minutes, and there's no other class. You're the only one, right?
Yeah, there is. Lucy's class started at 3.
Yeah, but that's if you're in it.
Oh,
I'm in it.
Yeah, his class really started at 4:30. Excuse me. It just decided to move it. No privilege. It's his choice.
And the dance class is at 3:30.
Okay. Well,
I want to hear it. So,
well, I can tell you.
Yeah,
I can tell you.
If you need to.
Those who want to stay.
Yeah, those who want to stay and those. Okay, let me just read this one little sentence. The mystic is guided by their own mind. That which we seek in life, we must give to another. This is so important. If it is kindness, give it. If it's goodness, give it. If it's service, give it. It means that we depend on the kindness of one another person that to make us happy. As long as we look to another to make us happy, so freaking important. We keep expecting that which we ought ourselves to be giving. We want to just pull it towards us. God, it's like yanking the world, like gimme, 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 right? And not until we know this, you know, the teachings of reciprocity, you know, if we give, oh my God, we're going to get so much more than we ever gave is the point, you know?
You get what you give.
Well, yeah. And that goes both ways.
Yeah.
You give shit, you're going to get it. Well, I think that's very important to remember. So I think if we're seeking understanding, then we, you know, practice forbearance and tolerance and forgiveness of others. I mean, there's so much of that we need to give to the world. And if we want love, give love, but give it in service, not expecting, you know, I love my husband, and he's a big romantic. Every morning I had a love note for years. I had huge tubs of these little notes from him. But I also understand there's something so much deeper than romantic love. It's a little exciting at first, but it has to mature. And there's a love of a friend, you know, our companions. And I do believe what Padre Pio says, pray, hope, don't worry. God is merciful and hears our prayers. So if it's to be in, you did it. You did it for 9 months. You kept with that prayer and look at what came. So sometimes you have to pray for what you want. Rumi says you have to ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. And make it a sincere prayer and make sure you're really clear about it.
Yeah.
So you don't get, okay, here it is. Wait, that wasn't exactly what I meant. So your own clarity is very important. I love you all. I am so happy to be back after all this time. And oh my God, thank you so much. Just thank you so much. The love just keeps going around. And you know, I'm not out of touch. You can text me, you can email me. I put some cards back there, I think Gemma did too. And we have a big online presence, and you can find us, -, Sufi-message.org.
And you can go to any of Murshida Nuria's classes.